Again, the reading tonight's from Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians 1, 10, and this is from the ESV. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Good to be with you again this evening. Hope everyone had a good, restful afternoon. Maybe something good to eat. And now ready to focus our minds on spiritual things. Our goal as Christians is always to be as much like Jesus as we can possibly be. If you have your Bibles, turn over to John the 8th chapter. And we have a familiar verse here, statement made by Jesus himself. And he says something that surely we should try to emulate ourselves. John the 8th chapter, and notice at verse 29. John chapter 8 and at verse 29. Jesus simply said, "And he who sent me is with me." And certainly we want the Father to be with us. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we want to be in the presence of God. We don't want God to cut off fellowship with us. And when it came down to Jesus, he and the Father were always together in presence. And he tells us why. And this is the part, of course, that we should try to imitate. He says, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do things that are pleasing to him." And that should be the goal of all of us who are Christians. Do you go through life striving to please your Heavenly Father? That's exactly what Jesus did. And of course, we know we can't reach the high standard of Christ. We all sin. Jesus never, ever sinned. We realize that. We do sin, but we're not active sinners, hopefully. I hope that there's not anyone here tonight who is living and dwelling in sin. You don't want that to be the case, but you wouldn't deny, certainly, that you sin from time to time. John said, if we say that we have not sinned, we lie, and the truth is not in us. And so we haven't reached that high standard that Christ did. He literally pleased God every minute of every day. We sometimes disappoint God, but it ought to be the pattern of our life. That day in and day out, we are striving to please God. We're doing everything we can to only do that which makes him happy. We should be like Jesus in that regard. And so for the next couple of minutes, we want to talk about pleasing God. And let's begin by emphasizing those who cannot please God. If you turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us about a group of people who simply cannot please God. Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8, and notice what he says at about verse 6, beginning. Romans 8, and beginning at verse 6. Paul writes, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And I want you to begin to see right away that this idea of setting your mind on something is something that all of us can do. And I point that out because as we read this particular context, it is one of the pet passages of Calvinism. They love to take from this passage the idea that somehow we don't have a free will and that without the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything at all good from a spiritual standpoint. That's what Calvinists mean when they talk about not having free will. They'll quickly say, "Well, you misrepresent us. We believe that God has a free will when it comes down to natural things. But in the spiritual realm, doing anything that is pleasing to God, you can't do that until the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you because," they say, "we are born totally in sin, we're born totally depraved, and therefore we can't even obey the gospel without special help." and of course the language of Paul in this particular context, they think will emphasize that very thing. But that's not what Paul is talking about at all. The fact of the matter is, all of us here tonight can set our mind on anything we want to. You can set your mind on things of the flesh, or you can set your mind on things of the Spirit. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian here tonight or someone who has never obeyed the gospel. You still have the free will to set your mind on either one of those things. Of course, he tells us here that if you set your mind on the flesh, that leads to death. If you set your mind on the Spirit, that leads to life in peace. And so the decision that we make should be obvious here. But notice, he says at verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And you see where the Calvinism would go with that. Verse 8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, Paul's not saying that somehow we lose our free will. He's not saying anyone doesn't have a free will here. But he is saying, if you decide to set your mind on fleshly things, if you decide to set your mind on things that are carnal, then in that situation, in that state of mind, you cannot please God. But the choice is really up to you. You have to decide what you're going to set your mind on. If you're going to set your mind on simply earthly, physical, fleshly, carnal things, or are you going to set your mind on the things of the Spirit? If you set your mind on carnal things, you're simply going to end up doing what you want to do in life, taking your own path, not worrying about what is really pleasing to God. And as long as you have that mindset, you cannot please God. You will not please God. Now, again, bear in mind, you can change that whenever you want to. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't set your mind on spiritual things, the things of the Spirit. You can change that. You can make up in your mind right now that you're going to start serving God and you're going to set your mind on the proper things. But as long as you're carnal-minded, you cannot please God. There's just no way to do that because, again, you'll put yourself before God. You'll seek your own will instead of God's will, and you won't be able to please God like that. And so we ought to make up in our mind, we're going to set our mind on the things of the Spirit and not on carnal, earthly kinds of things. Another group are those who trust in self for salvation. You're not going to please God if you do that. Because, as we said just a few moments ago, we all sin from time to time. And the fact of the matter is, once you sin one time, now you have to rely on God for salvation. And if you're just relying on your own ability and your own power and strength, you're going to fail every time. You're not going to please God in that situation. Why not rely on God in His grace, in His mercy? Why not rely on the tools that God has given us to be spiritually victorious? Remember, Peter said that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we can succeed, and we can be, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, more than conquerors, but we can't do it while we're relying on our own ability. We have to turn to God. We have to allow Him, through the gospel of Christ, to teach us and train us and give us the ability to live the way He wants us to live. Don't just rely on self. You'll disappoint not only yourself, but you'll disappoint God. That's really, we don't have time to study it now, but that's really what Paul emphasizes in Romans chapter 7 when he talks about that battle that he is going through. And basically, he is demonstrating the fact that he was disappointed over and over again because he wanted to do good in an absolute sense. But he kept finding himself doing evil. And again, as I have pointed out in that passage, Paul's not describing a Christian there. He is describing his life under the old law that demanded perfection. He couldn't live up to that high standard. So he wanted to please God, but he could not because there was sin in his life. But then he obeyed the gospel of Christ, and his sins were washed away. And as we studied it in our morning Bible class on Sunday mornings, Philippians chapter 3, at verse 3, Paul got to the point where he said, we put no confidence in the flesh. He learned the lesson. He used to be all about the flesh, not from the standpoint of fleshly living, but from the standpoint of relying on self for righteousness. And he learned that won't get the job done. You cannot please God like that. You have to turn to God in the tools that he has given you for salvation. Those who trust in self will surely end up not pleasing God. Then let's talk about another group of people, those who would not please God. We have many examples of individuals like that who simply determine they don't really care about pleasing God, so they're not going to do it. And there are some in the world who have a very sinister, rebellious kind of attitude, but there are some even in the church who end up taking that position. They may not feel that they're rebelling against God, but basically they once again are just determined. I know God doesn't want me to do this or that, but I really want to do those things, and I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to please God at this time. I'm going to do what I want to do. You remember Cain. We have the example of Cain. I know you're familiar with this, but turn with me over to Genesis chapter 4. Because I want to show you that Cain got to the point where he was sort of at a crossroads in his life. And he had to make a decision. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? And I know when you hear that and you think of Genesis chapter 4, you immediately think about the sacrifice. But I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about what comes next. He made the wrong decision in the sacrifice that he made. Of course, you remember Genesis 4 again at verse 1. Now Adam and Eve, knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now we know how this all turned out. Abel offered a sacrifice by faith, Hebrews 11:4. God was pleased with that. Cain took his own way. And God rejected his sacrifice. And so he was upset. Verse 5 says, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. And so Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Now, right here is where he comes to a crossroad. What is he going to do? God has rejected his offering. What is he going to do about that? God even talks with him and gives him some advice here. At verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Can you see the decision that he has to make? He made the mistake in offering up the wrong kind of sacrifice. Whatever the details of that command was, he didn't follow it. But now God has rejected him, and he's real mad about that. But God says, now you have a decision. You can either do well or not do well. If you'll just do well, everything will be all right, and you'll be accepted. If you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door. What are you going to do? Well, he had the ability to make a choice. He could have pleased God right then at that time, but he decided to take his own way yet again. He basically had the attitude, I'm not going to please God. And he let his anger and his jealousy and all of that get the best of him, and we know how it ended. He killed his brother Abel. And so he displeased God. He no doubt eventually lost his soul because at that crossroads, he decided that he would not do what was pleasing to God. That has been repeated over and over by individuals. What about us? When you find yourself at that crossroads, you have a decision to make. You can take this road or that road. One leads to favor with God. The other one might make you happy in the immediate time, but it's displeasing to God. What are you going to do about that? there are some people who will not please God. They'll determine, no, I'm not going to do that. I want to do what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to do. There are a lot of people who simply will not please God. That was Cain. We have other examples of that. The leading Jews, you remember in John chapter 12? Turn your Bibles over there. This is referring basically to the chief rulers. And they had an opportunity to do what God wanted them to do. Now watch what they decided. John chapter 12 and at verse 42. It says, nevertheless, John 12, verse 42, nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. So that's quite amazing. Here are these authorities, the chief rulers. They're listening to Jesus and what has happened and some of the things he has done. And they actually believe in Jesus. In other words, they know these Jewish leaders now, believing in Jesus to them meant they understood he is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited anointed one. The Bible says they believe that. Wouldn't you think if an individual at that time, particularly a Jew, whose whole life centers around the coming of the Messiah, they spent their time just waiting, hoping that it would happen in their day, that the Messiah would come, and he has come, and they believe that it's Jesus. Certainly, they're going to accept him. They know that would be pleasing to God, but notice what it says. They believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. Why? For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. They made a decision, didn't they? Just like Cain. The circumstances are a little bit different, but just like Cain, they were at a crossroads. They believed in Jesus. He is the Messiah. What should we do about that? Should we confess him? Should we accept him? No, we don't want to do that. They'll throw us out of the synagogue. We'll lose our social standing. They wanted the favor with man. And so they made the wrong decision. They would not. They could. They had the ability. They had the opportunity. But they would not please God. Again, that has happened over and over again. What about us? In our everyday living, when you find yourself at that crossroad, and you have to make that decision. Am I going to please God or am I going to please someone else? What are you going to do about that? Many, many people simply will not please God. And then, of course, we have another group. We have those who did please God. There are a lot of people over the years who find themselves in a situation like that or similar to it, and they want to please God. They're determined to please God, and so that's what they do. A good example of that would be, of course, the apostles. To turn over to Acts chapter 5. You remember this situation? In Acts, the 5th chapter. And beginning at verse 25. You remember the apostles, of course, being persecuted by, again, the Jewish authorities. These Jewish leaders, particularly the Sanhedrin, they thought for sure they had gotten rid of Jesus. And here comes the apostles preaching Jesus. That one that you have put to death, that you crucified before a nation of eyewitnesses, he has been raised from the dead by the power of God. And they kept preaching and preaching Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And really, they were getting on the last nerves of these Jewish leaders. And so, in Acts chapter 5, notice at verse 25. It says, and someone came and told them, look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. You remember the background to that. They were arrested, but they, of course, were set free by the power of God. And now they get news. They thought that the apostles were still there in prison, but they get news. They're not in prison at all. Now they're out there and they're preaching the very thing that you put them in prison for. they continue to preach Christ. They're standing in the temple. They're teaching the people. And then the captain with the officers went and they brought them, but not by force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you are. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Isn't that a little humorous? They did that their own self. They won't get mad at the apostles, but they are the ones that shed innocent blood. It seems like they kind of know that. But anyway, verse 29 says, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than man.'" You see, they made the right decision, didn't they? Even when they are pressured by man. Even when they were in a dangerous situation where they could quite possibly even lose their life, their attitude is, no, we're going to obey God. They wanted to please God. Again, they determined to please God, and so that's exactly what they did. What do we do in our life? Are we that determined to please God no matter what? Even when the odds are against us and people don't like us, even when family members turn away from us, even when co-workers on the job don't like what we're doing and what we stand for, who is it that we want to please? Think about Paul in the passage that was read for us a moment ago. Turn back over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, the first chapter. We won't read all of those verses that you see on the screen. But Paul, of course, was a gospel preacher. He preached the faith. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But I want you to notice particularly verse 10. He says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God?" How would that question be answered with regard to you or me? When people in the world look at us, what are they determined? Are we trying to please them? Are we trying to please man? Or can they see? No, they're trying to please God. Paul's asking that question about himself. Who is he seeking the approval of? He goes on to say, "If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And that really gives the answer so far as Paul is concerned. He was a servant of Christ. And everybody knew he served Jesus Christ with all of his heart. And so clearly, he wanted to please man. But that's the thing. We need to decide just who we want to please. Do we fall into this group of people or one of those other groups? Are we in a situation where we cannot please God because of our carnality? Are we in a situation where we will not please God because we're just determined to do our own thing instead of what God wants us to do? Or are we like the apostles, that even in threatening situations, our attitude is we ought to obey God rather than man? Are we like Paul? Are we servants of Christ so that we will serve God no matter what and please Him? What's the result of pleasing God, finally? God will translate us. We see that with Enoch, of course. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And as you turn over there, let me just state what you already know. And obviously, we're not going to be translated like Enoch was in the here and now. We know that. But he was translated, and there was a reason for it. And the Hebrews writer states it. Hebrews chapter 11. And at verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death." I've pointed out in preaching on this before that language sometimes is overlooked. That we should really be impressed with the trust and the faith that Enoch has in God. Notice, by faith Enoch was taken up. He believed something. By faith, he was taken up. That's pointing to the fact. Now, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, doesn't it? So he was taken up because of faith. In other words, God, somehow we think God just arrived and just took him and he didn't know what was going on. The wording of this seems to suggest that God told him what he was going to do. And Enoch believed it. Like, Enoch, have you ever seen anyone translated into heaven before? No, I've never seen anything like that. Have you ever heard of anybody experiencing that sort of thing? I never heard of that before. But when God told him it was going to happen, by faith, he was taken up. And he was that kind of a man. His whole life was characteristic of trusting God and having faith in God. And so he lived a life that was pleasing to God. Now listen to what the Hebrews writer says about it. By faith, Enoch was taken up that he should not see death. And he was not found. Why? Because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And I want you to know, I think the King James says that that was his testimony. And it was. It wasn't a verbal testimony. It was the testimony of his life. That he walked with God and he was pleasing to God. And as a result of that, God translated him. Now again, you're not going to be translated like that. So don't think you can just, you know, really please God and walk in the light and just like that, God's going to take you out of this world. That's not going to happen. But what is going to happen, God, first of all, God has already translated us out of the world, out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into the kingdom of God. One of these days, all of us are going to be transferred from this life into the next. And that's what we look forward to. When we're translated into heaven, not like Enoch, but when this world comes to an end. This life is over. This world ends. And it's time for eternity. We want to be in heaven with God, don't we? But the only way that's going to happen is if we do what Enoch did. If we have the right kind of testimony so far as our life is concerned. If we please God in the here and now, that's the only way we'll ever be transferred or translated into heaven in the future. How are you living your life? The result of pleasing God, ultimately, is heaven. And then, of course, he will give us what we ask in the here and now. Like one of the wonderful things about being a Christian is it's not all just all about the future. Our greatest reward, of course, is heaven, and that's what we're most looking forward to. But you are blessed right now as a Christian. You have a relationship with God because you're pleasing him, and you can ask him in prayer, and he will grant your prayers. 1 John 3, and at verse 23, let's close by reading that passage of Scripture. 1 John, the third chapter. First John chapter 3 and at verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do what's pleasing to him. And there's the condition on that. You want to have even now a successful and powerful prayer life? You can't do that just living any way you want to. You can't do that while being carnally minded. Or while falling into that group that just says, no, I know what God wants, and one of these days I might do what's pleasing to God, but right now I just want to please myself. No, you can't have a strong, effective prayer life like that. But John says, if you do what's pleasing to him, you ask what you will, and you'll receive it. That's pretty good motivation to do what is pleasing to God. Ultimately, we want to be in heaven. But again, there's blessings right now if we do what's pleasing to God. Are you like Jesus? Jesus did always what was pleasing to God. Every single day of his life, every hour of the day, every minute of every hour, he did what was pleasing to God. No, we can't reach that high height, but we can do everything we can to imitate Jesus. And to try every day when we get up out of bed, I am going to please God. That should be the mentality of all of us. John, in 1 John chapter 2, you remember, And at verse 1 and 2, John said, I'm writing these things unto you, that you sin not. John wanted us to have this mentality. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to do what's pleasing to God. Even though we will fall short. Thankfully, John goes on to say, when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the man Jesus Christ. But that doesn't change what our attitude should be. Let's be like Jesus. I'm going to always do what's pleasing to God. Might make man unhappy. Might not get everything I want. That's going to be the way I live my life. Pleasing God. I hope we'll all do that together. Are you subject to an imitation of Christ? Maybe you're not a Christian. Why not obey the gospel? Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You want to please God? That's the first thing you have to do. Obey the gospel of Christ. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been pleasing to God. Maybe you have developed one of those other kinds of mindset. Turn that around. You can do that tonight. Repent of your sin. Ask God for forgiveness. John said he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? God is such a forgiving, merciful God. No matter what kind of sins you've gotten yourself into, if you just repent and ask God for forgiveness, he will indeed forgive you. If you have sinned publicly, come forward. Let us pray for you. Let us help you and encourage you. We'll do the best we can to help you. But you need to act. You need to respond to the gospel invitation. Do it before it's too late. You don't have tomorrow, but you have right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.